We're going to carry on in our series, What Should I Pray? If you'd like to turn to your Bibles to Philemon, and that's page 1200, I think. Yeah, 1200 in your Bibles. And we begin at verse 4 through to 7. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Lord, may that be said of each one of us. And Lord, as we turn to your word now, Lord, will you help us to know what it is, Lord, to share our faith more readily. And Lord, at the same time, Lord, learn more about you. Equip us, Lord, to become increasingly effective witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, what we pray for is shaped by who we pray for. Just think of some of the people. Who has a prayer list at home? Or keep one in your mind. Just think of some of the people on your prayer list. And if any that come to mind that give you a particular cause for thanksgiving. Because this is one of the people that Philemon is. Gave Paul cause for thanksgiving. Often I certainly tend to be thankful when I see people who are giving themselves to the Lord, giving themselves to the service of the Lord, and their lives making a difference. And that really gives me great cause for thanksgiving. I find it less so when I watch people's lives not being fully utilized, fully alive to God, fully engaged in the things of God. That causes me concern and a sense of burden. How active is your faith? How active are you in sharing your faith? How do people feel when they remember you in prayer? Are they thankful or are they concerned? I'll leave it to ponder that one. Philemon is often associated with a guy called Onesimus, who was his slave, and he'd run away. And thankfully, he came to faith, and Paul wanted to reconcile him to his master, Philemon. And much of the letter is about this work of reconciliation that Paul was trying to do. But these opening words tell us more about Philemon himself, that he was a man of faith, and he was a source of great blessing to many. And was someone Paul often remembered with thanksgiving. And so he says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. I think it's a good thing to do, you know, to just to stop before we pray for people, just spend a little time thanking God for them. You know, I often pray for our partners, our mission partners, and I go straight into their needs. I need to stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sustaining them, for keeping them, for using them. Continue, Lord, to use them. And I encourage you to begin with thanksgiving as you pray for people on your prayer list. What marked Philemon out for Paul was his love and his faithfulness. He loved people, especially those in God's household, and was faithful to the Lord Jesus. Verse 5 says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. He's a faithful man, but he's also a man on a mission. How do we know that? Well, Paul tells us that in another version of the NIV, it says that it speaks of your partnership with us in the faith, or as we have here, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. And our series is, What Should We Pray? And tonight's focus is, what do we pray for believers as they share their faith. And in doing so, knowing more of God's goodness. And I don't know about you, I've learned a great deal sitting in a pew over the years, but I've learned much more as I've shared my faith with people. More about God and his workings. And I think that's what Paul's getting at here. As Philemon is active in sharing his faith, he will grow deeper in the knowledge of God. And I believe tonight's message will help us to pray effectively with folks, that they would grow in their knowledge of God as they share their faith. Now, some of us were in Wales, as I said last week, and we saw people actively sharing their faith throughout the week. Some of them are here tonight, and it's been great to be part of that. And I can say of people in Wales, for example, I can echo Paul's words, and I can say, I always thank my God when I remember you in my prayers because of your love and your faith in the Lord Jesus, and then later, and your love that gives me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And we saw a lot of this last week. People's believers being refreshed in their faith, and other people coming to know Jesus for the first time, coming to faith for the first time. And incidentally, I must say that we had a great time there, and I can't praise our young people enough. They did a great, great job. Can you imagine teenagers, okay, washed, ready, up for breakfast, 7 o'clock every morning? They deserve a clap, they really do. And they work tirelessly, and everywhere I turn, people say, your young people are great, and they are really. So we're really proud of you guys, and it was a great blessing. Back to the passage. What does Paul pray then? And what should we pray for our partners and for each other? Verse 6 says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. The truth is, the more we share in Christ, the more we can share of Christ. But Paul says here that you may have an understanding of every good thing that we share for Christ's sake or in Christ. Why does Paul emphasize the word good? Well, perhaps because sometimes when we share our faith, things happen that aren't so good. But what would Paul know about that? A great deal, I suggest. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 onwards, it describes some of the less good things that happen when people share their faith, and particularly in Paul's case. Beginning at verse 3, Paul writes, we put no stumbling block in anyone's faith so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Now hear it now. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. Now, I can relate to a lot of that. Not hunger, though. On mission, we weren't hungry, were we? But we had one or two sleepless nights, maybe. But nothing like this. This is the not-so-good things that happen where we're sharing our faith and are active in sharing our faith. And it's something to bear in mind as we pray for people, particularly those who are working in hostile regions of the world. We were praying for some of these folks early on today. And we need to remember that they're having to stand against the tide in a lot of these areas. We need to keep on praying for folks that God will sustain them, uphold them. In our sharing of our faith locally, we may suffer in different ways, of course. Ridicule, rejection, marginalization. Worse could follow, of course, in the future. We don't know what the future holds, do we? And that's why when we baptize people here, as we did this morning, and it was a great service, wasn't it? 5 people getting baptized from different backgrounds. But the same question to each one. Will you hold on to Jesus? No matter what the future holds, even if you face persecution. So those are some of the not-so-good things that happen. But Paul emphasizes the good things. And he contrasts in verse 6 onwards. He says, now, in purity, in understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right and in the left hand. These are the good things that we share in Christ. I'm sure there's much more, but that's what the passage we have before us tells us. And these are kind of things we can begin to pray into for each other and for those that we partner with in the gospel. So we can pray for purity. Isn't it wonderful that we can know purity? Undeserving as we are, with all our sin, we can be purified. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will cleanse us from all our sins and give us his righteousness. Purifies us from all our sins. So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters as they serve to seek that purity in their lives. And purity authenticates and empowers gospel proclamation. It makes the gospel more powerful when people see the kind of person, the kind of life that is speaking these words of truth to them. Each day we can put on the purity of Jesus and clothe ourselves with his righteousness. So when you're praying for each other and seeking to be actively sharing your faith, pray for purity as a foundation. Then Paul says, understanding. Pray for understanding. As we share our faith, we grow, as I said earlier. We grow in our understanding. I've learned, as I said, more about the gospel and more about the word of God sometimes because people ask questions. As you share your faith, they ask questions. So you've got to find answers. And so you learn and you grow in your understanding. But there's another aspect of understanding, and that's understanding the other person. Understanding their struggles, where they're coming from. You know, like we heard this morning, where have you come from? Where are you going? To Hagar. We need to be able to ask some of these questions to people too and understand where they're coming from. Somebody said, seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. So let's pray that our partners, our friends, as we share life together, as we witness together, that we'd seek to understand those that we're trying to reach. Something of their struggles, something of their mindset, so we can better share, more relevantly share the gospel with them. Purity, understanding, patience. How much we need patience in our witnessing. Who's been frustrated waiting for somebody to come to faith? Who is still frustrated? God isn't frustrated. God is patient. We need to enter into his patience and allow him to do his work in his way, in his time. So let's pray for folks that they would wait on God to look to him and his working in people's lives. And that, you know, we're not judged by performance, but by faithfulness and trusting God to do his work. And as we pray for those who are particularly serving in difficult areas where they see very little fruit, pray that they would just trust God, that he's using them where they are, as they are. And in time, fruit will come. Lives will be touched. Purity, understanding, patience, and it says kindness. Something we share in Christ because we've received the kindness of God, the grace and the goodness of God. Pray that they would express the kindness and mercy that God has shown them as they serve those around them. You know, kindness melts hearts, even the hardest of hearts. And I used to run a course called the Contagious Christian Course here, and I'm still trying to operate it. If you want to learn how to effectively share your faith, do the Contagious Christian Course. Come and see me about it. We'll arrange something. But in that course, there's an illustration of a lady who was quite well-to-do. Her husband was well-to-do. They had a great life together, all that money could buy. And they lived just a little way from Willow Creek Community Church, which is the church that started this course. And she used to look at these people going to church each Sunday with a lot of disdain, as though, oh, look at these people needing a crutch. Until circumstances changed. Her husband lost his job, and he decided he would leave home. She also lost her job and left with the kids at home. She had to give up her car and literally becoming destitute. People from the church heard about it, and they decided they would come along and try to help her. They provided her with a car. And then they had a kind of a food bank, and from which they provided with groceries. And you can imagine what happened to her heart. She just literally melted. She couldn't believe the kindness that was being shown to her. And she knew that must have come from God. And she turned to the Lord as a result of it. So kindness is very key. Thank God that God has been to us about being kind to others around us. Kind in serving them. With the CAP as a ministry to people who are in real need and struggling. As the Basics Bank that the City Mission run, that we support. And the things that we do week by week. Serving parents in parents and toddlers and tadpoles and Hive and the Friendship Centre. Acts of kindness that we trust will bear fruit in the lives of people. They will see where it's coming from and respond to Him who inspired us to do it in the first place. Purity, understanding, patience, kindness. That they be in the Holy Spirit. Pray that they be in the Holy Spirit. That as our partners, as we share life together, as we reach out together, that we will be fueled by and then pour forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That people would see His love, His joy, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, His self-control in our lives. And such fruit in our lives will help people see Jesus more clearly. When they see the fruit and taste the fruit of His Spirit, they will see and taste more of Jesus through our lives. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us the character of Christ, to do the works that He called us to. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray too for sincere love. Loving people is key to winning them for Christ. Real love, not love that's conditional, not love that says, I'll love them so they can come to Christ. No, love them. And your love will help them come to Christ. Why is love so important? Because love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. People will respond to love, not just words. It's been said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, how much you love them. And love just simply earns us the right to be heard. Sincere love. Then truthful speech. Pray that we would speak the truth and be true to our word. Truth-telling draws people as much as lies repel them. It builds trust and confidence. It helps people to come to you more readily for counsel, to be heard, to share confidences. It's so important. Another illustration from the Contagious Christian Course is from the first Gulf War. There was a colonel, a recently appointed colonel, who was just setting up office and getting himself sorted. And from the corner of his eye, he sees a soldier approaching him. He decides to pick up the phone and start a conversation. And he says, oh, General Schwarzkopf, thank you for calling. Yes. Hey, that sounds a great idea. I would agree with that. Thanks for checking with me, Norm. And he puts the phone down. And then he turns to the soldier and says, well, what can I do for you, young man? And the soldier says, well, actually, sir, I've just come to connect to your phone. He lost his standing there and then, didn't he? Truth is so important. So important. Then we're told to pray for the fact that we need to be ministering, not in our own strength, but in the power of God. Ministering in the power of God. Pray that those we support, encourage, spur on in sharing their faith, whether it be abroad or on our doorstep here, that we wouldn't be relying on our own resources, but increasingly be aware and responsive to God's power at work, that God can use us and can work in us and do things that we just can't do ourselves. Just like Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. You know, the more we see God's power at work, the more convinced we become when sharing the gospel that it is the power of God. And we're not ashamed of it, because we know it works. God uses it and uses us when we're faithful in proclaiming it. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. We saw that at work this morning, didn't we? We saw God doing that in the lives of people from different backgrounds, from Muslim backgrounds, from Jewish backgrounds, from local backgrounds. The power of God to save. And we need to be ministering in the power of God. And then pray that we would be exercising the weapons of righteousness. Pray that folks would not respond in a worldly way to the attacks that come their way, whether it be from the devil or from men. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Weapons of righteousness afforded to us. Now, the outcome of praying in this kind of way, for purity, for understanding, for patience, for kindness, for being in the Holy Spirit, for having sincere love, for being truthful in speech, ministering in the power of God with weapons of righteousness, is that our witness and the witness of those people that we pray for will be able to hold them and strengthen them and uphold them in all kinds of situations. I've heard this once said that it comes actually from Ephesians 6, about the armor of God. And that will help people to stand, withstand, still stand. And as we pray for people in these ways, they'll be able to stand. They'll be able to continue actively sharing their faith. And that's really illustrated in the remaining part of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 8 onwards. It says, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying yet we live on, beaten yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. Those are the good things that we can pray for, that we share in Christ. And having prayed for a deepening of these good things, as a result of sharing his faith, Paul prays for more of the good that Philemon is already demonstrating, that he continues to be a source of joy and encouragement. So let's pray for those that we serve alongside, whether they're around the world or right here where we are, that we would be a source of encouragement and a source of joy to those that we serve, that people would be readily coming to us for support and for encouragement. Secondly, Paul says that he may continue in refreshing the hearts of the Lord's people throughout their witness. You know, one of the main things that happen when we go to Wales, we often focus on all the events, the outreach, the evangelism, and so on. But one of the things that keeps being fed back to us is that we refresh the hearts of the saints. When we go to Wales, they're as much appreciative of our presence and supporting them and encouraging them and praying for them as the things that we do for them. Let's pray for more of that spirit to be able to encourage and refresh the hearts of the saints. And as we stand alongside our brothers and sisters in Wales, that spurs them on to go on actively sharing their faith. So as we pray for our partners, let's pray that they too, throughout their witness, would continue to bless and refresh the hearts of the Lord's people wherever they serve also. Now, we've got many Philemons that we can think of. Some that we've actually sent out and are serving, some of those that we prayed for earlier today. Others have actually joined us where they're already serving, people that we've taken on board as global partners. They're ministering in areas and we've come to know them, build a relationship with them, and we can pray for them as well. But there are many Philemons here as well that we can pray for. People who we live alongside, share life with. People who have a vision to share their faith with in their communities and through our communities that we're developing here. So let's pray for them and pray for each other as we share our faith, that we grow deeper in the good things that we share in the Lord Jesus. Let's begin to give thanks for each other and pray and grow deeper in our purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, in the power of God, and use the weapons afforded to us in Christ, and that we continue to be a source of great joy and encouragement to seek to refresh the hearts of the Lord's people throughout our witness. Amen. So how do you want others to pray for you as you seek to actively share your faith? Or do you simply need to be more active in sharing your faith and want prayer for that as well? What about being active in praying for a Philemon that God will lay on your heart and support them and encourage them and refresh them? If you feel the need for prayer in any of these areas, it'd be great to be able to do that with you later on. Do see Sunday evenings as an opportunity to receive prayer and ministry. We're here for each other. And if you want prayer for any of the things that we've been sharing tonight or anything else, do come forward as we sing our final song together. Thank you, Katie. Let me pray as Katie comes. Father God, thank you again that you long to fill our lives with all the good things that we have in Christ. Lord, to not just to make us more effective witness, but Lord, to be having life and life more to the full, as you promised. Life that is fruitful. Life that is attractive. Life that thrills us and touches others. Help us, Lord, to seek after such living and such witnessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.